It's time for Wisconsin Life right now. Every year, racers from around the world descend on Eagle River for the World Championship Snowmobile Derby. Emily Bright takes a look at the competition and camaraderie behind the scenes.
Trailers the size of semis line the frozen field around the derby track the evening before the 52nd annual Classic Vintage Snowmobile Derby. Here and there, you see someone hunched over a snowmobile making adjustments. To talk to a racer, I'm told, just step inside a trailer. I hesitate, unable to see what's inside. Half a dozen men from Southwest Michigan crack jokes in the space not taken up by the 400-pound sled. A crock pot bubbles in the corner. It's such a cozy oasis from the cold, you almost forget why they're here. Any member of a registered racing group can sign up to race at the Derby, but to be competitive in Eagle River takes serious work. Roger Britt's preparations for the super senior class race sound like something out of Field of Dreams.
I ride my trail sled out in the soybean field. We finally got some snow, and I made myself a track where I could go out and get up to speed and get the brain working good, hopefully.
Fellow racer Aaron Giles says he spends most of his evenings working on his snowmobile with the help from his 8-year-old daughter.
She really enjoys working out in the garage, so she's out there a lot with me.
Over and over, you hear how competitive racing runs in families. Chris Sweeten and his brother drove 3 days up from Utah to race in Wisconsin.
Just kind of been on our bucket list. It's kind of hard on the road, but every hotel we've stayed in made sure had a gym and a swimming pool so that I could work out.
Often racers team up, sharing sleds, a pit crew, and sponsors. Russ Davis, vice president of sales and marketing for the Derby, remembers when the race began in the 60s as a loop on a nearby lake. Even now with world championship status, Davis says,
it's a hobby. Here the guys can still think they're driving in Indianapolis and going around fast and very competitive. And you'll see the trophies out there. I mean, they're beautiful trophies, and they win a little prize money.
One trailer from Quebec, Canada looks very competitive, covered with sponsor names and a life-size picture of 18-year-old Sabrina Blanchet, her hair streaming down the back of her blue and orange gear. In real life, she's petite, but she's the only girl who competes for the world championship class.
There
really aren't many girls in this sport, mostly guys, she says. And that's why I like it. It's more of a challenge. That's what's fun, she says.
You know, we're very excited to see her as a female in a very competitive all-male field.
That's Alan Decker, a career racer whose family owns the Derby track. Decker helps Blanchet when she races in Wisconsin.
This is a very physical sport. It takes a lot of strength to turn them because they turn on carbides on ice, so it's remarkable.
Our interview is cut short as a crank lifts the sled and delivers it outside. Time to give the oval track one more test drive. There's some trouble getting it going. Decker yanks the cord like he's starting a lawnmower. The cold bites through everything, and I'm glad, and a little jealous, to see the racers are well padded, without an inch of skin exposed. They have to be, when they're coming around the turn near 100 miles an hour. At last, Blanchet motors up along the other engines for her last hot lap. No matter who came with you on the journey, once you enter the track, it's just you and your sled against fierce competition on the ice.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Snowmobiling has long been a favorite pastime for Wisconsinites, so it may not come as a surprise to hear that the early versions of snowmobiles were developed right here in Wisconsin.
Carl Elison patented the modern single-track snowmobile in 1927 in Saner, Wisconsin. And joining us now to talk about their family's legacy is his granddaughter, Jonna Elison. Jonna, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, can you talk a little bit about your grandfather's role in the origin and development of what we know of today as the modern snowmobile?
Well, he was born in 1899, and unfortunately he had a club foot. And that made it very difficult for him to go hunting and fishing and skiing and doing anything that the normal guys did. So pretty much all of his life, he was a little bit behind. And he always thought about devising some way that he could keep up. And he tried, one of his early trials was a Model T with tracks on it, like so many other people did. And it didn't turn out for what he wanted it to. He wants a small snowmobile with that floats over the snow and that can maneuver between trees and get out where he needs to get. So in 1924, he bought a general store here in Saner, and he began working on what he calls the motor toboggan. And I'm standing here in our museum right now looking at it, and it's really something to look at, because what he did was he took wood snow skis and he fashioned them into a toboggan, and he made a belly pan in the front. And to this, he mounted a 2.5-horse Johnson outboard motor engine with a shortened shaft on it, of course. And to that shaft, he put a bicycle sprocket, and then he went to what they call a jack shaft, and he put another bicycle sprocket on there. And from there, he drove the track, and it was a single endless track. And that was kind of a first. In fact, it was the first design for snow, and it was the first machine that was actually designed specifically for snow. And it was, he could steer it. He put two other skis underneath, and he could steer it with ropes.
Now, Johnny, you're looking at that original motor toboggan now. If somebody came in from the 21st century with a vision of a snowmobile in their head, would they look at this and say, oh, yeah, that's a snowmobile? Or does it look radically different than what we know today?
Well, I'm so used to looking at it that it's hard for me to say. But from the reaction that we have with people coming in, they look at it and they're just absolutely flabbergasted when they see the innovation that went into making this thing, and actually how many things on here that were the first in 1924 and are still used today. Like, the first machine was a liquid-cooled engine. He uses a slide rail suspension, and it's a single track, and it's about 100 inches long, which is a little over 8 feet. And it's 2 feet wide, and it weighs about 150, 200 pounds. And that was his first version of it. And everybody thought he was nuts when he was building it. You know, they thought he was crazy. They never saw anything like it. But as soon as he put it out on the snow, and it was successful, that's when he decided he had to patent it, because everybody wanted one. All of his friends wanted one then, because now all of a sudden he's the first one to the hunting grounds and to the trap line, and so it worked out really well for him.
Right, so back then, when snowmobiles first hit, what were people using them for? Now you see them for a lot of recreation, but originally, how were people using snowmobiles?
Well, they were using them for anything that they could do in the wintertime, usually work. And some of the utilities used them for checking lines, and a lot of trappers and hunters and fishermen used them, because there was nothing up here to do in the wintertime. You had to eat off the land. So, you know, that got them out. It got them through their trap line a lot faster, and it got them out, you know, into the woods to go hunting. And they could carry, you know, an animal back or whatever they needed to do. But that was pretty much up until the 1960s. That was pretty much, you know, what they were used for was either the military or work applications.
Now, these are, as you described, this is a pretty big snowmobile. What was it like to ride around on one of these massive early models?
They're really not that big, Rob. They're very comparable in size and weight to the snowmobiles we use today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They look big because you probably saw some photographs with four guys on them.
I did. But that's why I thought they were so big.
Yeah. Probably a pretty good photo op. They could haul four people, three people, you know, and they did, but usually it was one or two people that would go out on them. And, of course, I never got to ride one of those early toboggan models because I was born in 1962. But on his last model that he designed, his K-12, is the model that I grew up riding since I was a baby until I was like 9 years old when I got a Polaris Playmate.
So if someone wants to see one of these early snowmobiles, are they still around for people to go see?
Well, we actually, Saner, Wisconsin has the best variety of Elisen snowmobiles probably anywhere in the world. And in the wintertime, we have five of them here on display, including the first one at our lumber and hardware store, Elisen Lumber and Hardware. And we're right downtown Saner. And we have a nice museum with windows facing out, so even if we're not open, people can come by and see our display. But in the summertime, we send the first snowmobile down to the Vilas County Historical Society Museum, which is just down the road about a block. And down there, they have one of every machine that my grandpa's designs with Four Wheel Drive Corporation, which was the one who had to produce these in mass quantities. So, along with a bunch of other manufacturers. So it's an excellent museum for anybody to visit, but that's only open in the summer.
Jonna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Jonna Elison, granddaughter of Carl Elison, inventor of the single-track snowmobile.